Welcome to Last Week on Keith and the Girl. I'm Bianca Brady. We're back again. We're here. It's May 2020. We're in a place and time in history that some have called the worst ever.
And how can you tell it's May? Have you seen the sun go down? Who's counting this calendar for you?
I was like, I guess it's April, so I don't know. Yeah. May? It's got to be May.
My landlord said, you owe me more money. I'm like, so time is moving. Okay, and okay. Here you go.
My friend Sophie had a birthday. That's how I knew it was May. But yeah, I don't know. I'm here with Keith and Hemda. It's the same as it ever was, and yet everything is different. Uh-huh. So I'm not going to ask you how you are. But I would love it if you would tell me anyway.
Well, I'm doing okay. I got nervous because we did do the show one day later because a friend of ours was sick. What does that mean? And how are you doing?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Okay. So as you may or may not know, I do have cancer of the blood, which is just like so dramatic, you know.
It's extra.
It's like, oh God, it's coursing through my whole body.
It's a stream of cancer.
All my blood is just fucked up. So it's hard to tell sometimes because there's not a lot of symptoms. So I go for like super long walk, do some, you know, work and, you know, get out there, get going, maybe a push up, maybe a shower. And then like 3 days later, it's like I've been hit by a truck and I just have to like rest for a while. So I'm still learning how to deal with sometimes feeling sick. And I think I just sometimes push myself a little too hard and then end up, I need to take a day off. So yesterday was one of those days where I just had to lay low. And yeah, I'm feeling great now.
That's cool.
Excellent.
I feel like that's a normal thing, cancer or not. I don't want to take that away from you, but I feel like, Bianca, we all need naps, okay? It's a hard time. Okay.
Yeah, today.
Your blood is no different than mine.
I was supposed to meet Hemda for something today, and I said, I took a shower 3 days ago. And she's like, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. Yeah.
You need to rest. I'm glad you're better.
I'm so glad you're better.
I feel like you're being serious, although your tone makes me think that you're actually not glad at all. I wish I wasn't better.
No. This is great news. I was cursed with a voice, kind of the way Little Mermaid was. And no matter how genuine I am, it comes off a certain way.
Yes, it's his voice. This tone you're usually born with. It's not developed for lack of intimacy or, you know, personal relationships. It's absolutely, this is the way he talked when he was two. So that's what's weird about the whole thing.
Yeah,
my dad had intercourse with a witch, and this is the only way I could talk.
Look at this stuff. Isn't it neat? I've been accused of the same thing, Keith, so I get it. Sometimes I've been like, no, I like that shirt. I was like, fuck you, Bianca. Yeah. Just don't say anything if you can't say anything nice. Right. Like, but I like the shirt.
Does she mean anything?
A fork? I loved how dumb she was in that scene.
Yeah, right.
Swimming around. Look at this garbage heap. Right. I'm so hot. I'm going to marry a prince. I don't care that we can't talk.
Right. She knows what hair products are, for what.
Oh, yeah.
So why is she confused what a fork does?
Yeah.
She still eats.
I guess she doesn't know what a shirt is, though. Am I right?
Hello.
Cover it up.
I like that the highest form of cut. Like, it's just this depiction of men going like, oh, this is the greatest. She can't talk, but we can, like, really express ourselves. But in real life, when, like, a dude from America just picks up a wife in some other country who happens to be in that country, females are subservient, like, as a rule. But, like, that has nothing to do with it. They somehow have great conversations. I blame Little Mermaid.
Yeah, I think you're right, too. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense to me. Do you guys feel like we're going to get to the shows? Don't worry. Mm-hmm. This isn't a show about fucking around. We do move briskly ahead. But I just wanted to ask, do you feel like you've been doing the show over Zoom now for a few months? And do you feel like generally, like, the character of the show has changed in any kind of a way that you can kind of realize or that you can kind of deduce at this point? Like, what are the biggest sort of differences, do you think, now that we're doing pandemic?
I think that, you know, as you experience pretty often when we're about to record, I think that it requires more patience of everybody. Once we start, it's fine. We're cool. But, like, you know, we came on, Keith hears me in an echo, like, we have to adjust everything. Sometimes it takes 5 minutes, sometimes it takes 20 minutes. It has taken an hour. So I think the only thing is the stuff that people don't see, which is a lot more patience to get it going.
But and Oppie is from another country. It's not our fault it took an hour.
They have different, plugs in Europe. They have different sockets and stuff.
But Keith, do you find any other difference?
No, that's the difference. That, you know, you don't want to get in ahead of you know, trying not to act like a princess here, but you don't want to get in this head of frustration, and then it's like, and 3, 2.
Do you feel like it's affecting you to look at yourself while you do the show, to be able to see yourself doing the show?
I think we could see ourselves as much as we used to be able to see ourselves because we were always on camera. So you could always, we could always post our,
that's true.
It's our guests who now get to see it.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, I don't know when Hemda's done talking because I'm too busy looking at my mouth. You know, so I don't really look at me anyway.
I look at me.
You know, what's different is I'm so used to sort of like, you know, when two people start at the same time, that happens both in the studio and on Zoom. It's not necessarily like it just catches a rhythm like that. I catch myself going, like, looking at the person in the camera and going, yeah, go ahead. And it's like, they don't know where you're looking on your screen, but right. It becomes so real that I'm like, what were you saying? It's like, okay, not okay. What was Bianca saying?
Yeah, right. That is tricky. I find myself looking right at myself the whole time and just sort of doing, like, you know,
fixing stuff, your hair.
Fixing hair, doing like pouting lip, doing like thirst trap, Zoom trap. Anyway, last week was a great bunch of episodes, and that's what we have to talk about now, starting with episode 3270, OCD and COVID-19 with Tracy Carnazzo and Appia! Oh my God. So exciting.
So Appia, who is, I think, the number one fan, just based on the forums and I don't know. I think if we had a Jeopardy, she'd be a good contestant, right? Mm-hmm. She's a great supporter of the show. She supported our Kickstarter and got the sort of production what is it called? Reward, I think it's called on Kickstarter.
Yeah, and she's a producer.
Yeah, so she got to pick the guests. She got to be on mic. And she saw the behind the scenes because we had to, like, check her mic and everything. So shout out to Appia. You know, still in my head, I say Appia first. So maybe you hear that in my tone. And I apologize because I love when people pronounce my name right and I do it wrong. So thank you. That being said, what did you think of the episode?
I thought it was so wonderful. I mean, Tracy's, of course, always a treat, but Appia is, a star in the making. Just a natural on mic, loose, you know, just jumping in at the right time, thoughtful replies, funny quips. I was like, this is the Appia I know and love from meeting her at Keith and the Girl Week in real life a couple times and reading her on the forums. So I was glad, you know, if you haven't met Appia in real life, you know, now you can sort of put a voice to the posting on the forums. And that's always fun to sort of, I mean, during KTG weekend, there were some people in the chat and stuff who I'd only interacted with by reading on the forums. And it's always cool to hear someone's voice and feel out their vibe that way. So I thought it was super fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's opinionated, but, you know, not like an asshole. It's fantastic. Yeah. She'll tell him. They're like, oh, this relationship, I like it. Last one, dumb. Ask me next time.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny to have somebody to talk to somebody who knows you. It must be, I think, who knows you so well, who knows everything that ever happened to you. And then, you know, I was thinking it was interesting to hear her perspective on meeting Hennessy for the first time versus meeting Xerxes, for like just her sort of getting a little whiff of things here and there. It must be kind of bizarre to have somebody parrot that back to you, like how they interacted with your people.
I like it. I wish it happened more. I don't think we tell each other, hey, when I first met your boyfriend, I didn't like him. Like, we're not allowed to say that it's a social faux pas, but I appreciate it. And also, you kind of get a heads up. But who knows if people listen to other people when they're dating people. But I thought it was interesting because I'm pretty sure I knew that he called her a dominatrix when he first met her. And our lines are so blurred as opposed to, like, normal social behavior that I let it go. And only now, in hindsight, with all the other egregious behaviors, does that kind of also stand out, even though it's like not one of the worst ones, you know?
Right.
So I don't know how to feel about that. I know how to feel about that in terms of if she felt uncomfortable, it was uncomfortable. So that's sort of period, end of story. But I would love to hear Keith's opinion on it, for example.
Say that question again.
So what do you think of Hennessy meeting Appiah and going, I think you'd be a good
It goes with everything else that Hennessy has done. So yes, you know, it's like, it'd be like my dad explaining things. Well, in and of itself, what about this email? And it's like, no, Dad, it's everything. And it's such everything. It's just like, well, then yes, this obviously, if this could be taken wrong, you're not, you know, if this is something bad or good, it's probably bad.
Yeah. Bianca, do you think like that would have thrown a red flag into the play, you know, as a standalone?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I remember the first time I met him, I was like, there's a lot of chaotic energy here. Like nothing specific happened, but I remember being like, whoa, what is going on with you?
Really? That's interesting.
I mean, like, ugh. So, but I didn't obviously say anything like, hey, your husband seems kind of wacky.
But it's funny now, of course, you know, stories are coming out and I'm hearing about things like, you know, I thought he was suspect when he did this or he lied to me about this. He was, you know, there's a lot of behaviors that I didn't even like mention on the show. But, you know, now people are feeling free and you should, you know, and it's a shame that we can't feel free during the relationship because you can't know that I'm not going to respond, you know, by shutting off. Which I think
Also it's like sometimes you get a vibe from somebody and you're wrong, you know. Sometimes you're like, hey, that guy's an asshole, but he's really just shy, or you know,
right.
You can't follow your bliss and just go around telling people what you think of their partners, because otherwise nobody would ever be friends with anybody ever again.
I guess
everybody that hates sucks. Everyone's boyfriend.
But right, but you do try to. I do anyway. As I get older, try like, why is this person giving? Why am I feeling this off that person?
Yeah.
And in this case, it's simple. But again, it's in hindsight. But why? Why does Hennessy have a nervous energy, as if I'm doing something? And that's because I should actually have the feeling that he's having. Does that make sense?
Yes, I see. That's
so,
yeah.
I think we might be. I think we might all be getting degrees in psychology coming up. Speaking of which, Tracy, insane in the membrane, insane in the brain, and I can say that because I have been diagnosed with OCD by a psychiatrist. So I'm allowed to No, but it sounds like what she's going through is really, really intense. And I can't even imagine the type of vigilance that you need to have just to feel safe. It seems like a lot of work.
I think that was Keith's whole point, is that now everyone has to feel some of that vigilance, because otherwise they might die. I think, right, Keith? Why am I speaking for you? You know what? I said this before. We could do this without Keith. I know what he's thinking.
Well, you talk to Tracy Larkin, of course. You do the podcast only in New York with her.
Yeah, your friend, Tracy.
Your pal. Is she happier that everybody has to now understand her disease or not?
It's really hard to speak for her, but I think she can't just be happier because we're all still in isolation. It's scarier outside, even though you thought outside is scary, but I think she generally always tries to keep a very positive and forward moving attitude. Like, she's a really hard worker, and I think, you know, she's always checking up on her friends and saying hello and being friendly. And I don't think that has deviated or changed. I don't
like
know
when she's saying, she says like, oh, the CDC is saying wipe down all your packages, et cetera. And like, I was surprised. I'm like, really? She's like, definitely. And then right away I'm told, no, they didn't. I'm like, of course not. We have to live our fucking lives. Bianca, you having OCD and blood cancer. You still heard her explaining her process? Known. Okay, that's too much.
No, not at all. I have OCD tendencies, and I think it manifests for people in totally different ways. It's not about the germs, and like, hoarding is a subsect of OCD, which is like the opposite of what Tracy's doing, essentially. Right. So I totally get like the need to want to control in that way and control your outcome. And then there's this, you know, governing body telling you like, statistically, we should all do this stuff to keep, you know, the population at large safe, and to make this threat of COVID go away more quickly. But using that to justify your personal anxiety, I think, is not necessarily like wise. It doesn't mean you're right to have this disorder, you know.
Yeah, but I don't think she thinks that. I think Keith thinks that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I think it doesn't justify it, but at least on some level, maybe with this, you can feel a little bit safer about what other people are doing, because you're like, okay, you have the similar concerns to me now for the first time. Like, I found that when COVID and when coronavirus started happening, I thought it was really weird, because I've been having blood cancer, not to brag. I've been nervous about my own health for several months before this. And then to come into this world where like, now everybody is similarly nervous about their health and the future, and like, you know, what's going to happen, and all that uncertainty. It's kind of like weirdly nice to have everybody be on your page. So I kind of get it where Tracy's coming from. But I mean, what I think is amazing is that she washes her sheets once a week in bleach and hot water. That's like intense. Right. That's like washerwoman. I love that.
Okay. Well, I thought you were supposed to do that. Not that I'm doing it because I'm a pig, but
I never did a bleach thing.
Well, I'm always nervous to use bleach because I feel like I'm just going to put holes in everything.
Everything's going to get ruined.
You know what? We didn't ask her. Does she just use toilet paper and that's the end of the day? I doubt it. You know, I don't know what's going on with bleach back there, but something's happening.
You think she bleaches her anus?
Perhaps, not out of fucking fashion.
Is that what you want to do, Keith? Because you wash your... Yeah, right? This seems like he's bringing it up for a reason and putting it on Tracy. This sounds like a you thing.
I'm subscribed to the Kardashian newsletter. I know it's hip. I know it's cool. But she's doing it out of necessity, I bet.
Okay. We'll have to get in touch.
The poll was, does COVID-19 justify your OCD? And your choices were yes or no slash I don't have OCD. 16% of our audience say yes, COVID justifies my OCD.
Yeah, I wonder how many times some of those guys hit the yes button, you know?
Right. 13. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
But also, like, the psychiatrist who diagnosed me with OCD was kind of an asshole. So sometimes I'm like, yeah, maybe I have it, or maybe he's just kind of a jerk. Anyway, so I don't
know. I get that. I totally get that.
Anyway, moving on. Briskly. Episode 3,271 is Quarantine House with Hannah Berner.
Oh,
what a babe.
Mm-hmm.
She's cool. She's funny. She's hot. I just am like transported back to high school kind of whenever she's on. I'm like, why is she even talking to me? She's so cool.
She's a lot of fun. And
yeah.
And when you say what's different, so many technical difficulties on this episode.
Oh, really?
So many. It started doing that thing where I can't hear, she can't hear. We had her like ahead of time before the show. I think, Keith, it was at least 20 minutes. Then there was some kind of fucked up thing in the middle. She was just so super chill about it. We see her just on her phone the whole time. We're like, I'm sorry, this is taking a while. She's like, I'm answering DMs. And we're like, of course you are.
Right. In that show, you do hear like a quick little fuck up where Hemda couldn't hear, but it was much longer than that. I tricked you.
Ah, I see. Because I heard, because there was like a funny joke happening. So I heard that you left some of that in.
Yes.
But I figured that it was doctored up a little in Dr. Keith's magic lab.
Yeah. He's good. Beakers. He's really good. And I think, Keith, that show took 2 hours, right?
It took a bit.
Yeah.
Hannah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she was great about it. Oh, yeah. And Tracy, the mic check took an hour because, you know, Appia's not used to, like, at this point, when we get on a call with a guest, they're usually like, here's what I have. Here's what I'm used to using. Like, you know, but this was a first for her. So we walked it through for like an hour. So we took an extra hour from Tracy, but everyone had a really good attitude about it. And so,
yeah.
I remember she was, we're like, do you have a microphone? And she's like, no. And it's like, oh, you told us you did. All right, let's work around that. So we figured out. And then she goes, she pulls out a microphone. Should I use this microphone?
That was like 45 minutes in.
So you don't have headphones? No. I do have these things, though, for my headphones. Planet? Germany's not a planet.
Appia, you little rascal. She's just doing it to get a rise out of you.
Maybe an extra hour with Tracy or something, you know?
Yeah. But I want to talk about how hot and cool Hannah is. Do you think maybe she would want to be my friend? Perhaps.
Yes. She's so friendly.
But do you think she would get something out of the friendship too? Or would it just be one-sided? You know?
I think that you don't know how much cool you put out. You know how people are like, Bianca, stop being sarcastic. Is this shirt cool or not cool? And you're like, I guess you'll never know because my tone is just cool as a cucumber. You can't tell what I'm thinking, what I'm feeling. But I know I do crossword puzzles and I know you don't know how many words I know. So whatever, people. Okay.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. You can tell when people try to fake sarcasm. Total cringe. But what you got is natural, and I'd be happy to be your friend.
Okay, so I think she and I are going to end up together forever.
I can see it. Mm-hmm.
In a summer house of our own, you know?
Do you like to drink?
I don't drink at all, no.
Oh.
Is that a problem?
That's a slight problem.
That's perfect. AA is full of people who are with people who never drank, don't like to drink, don't care about drinking. That's the whole thing, is like one of these people likes the other person because it gives them what they don't have.
But also I'm allergic to jacuzzi.
Oh, that was the other thing.
It's never going to work out between us.
I'm sober so and sad. I hate hot water.
I thought it was really cool listening to her talk about not wearing makeup during these uncertain times, mm-hmm. and starting to like the way your face looks without it. Because I never wear makeup for the same reason that you said, Hemda, which is that when I put it on, I feel like I look insane, like a crazy clown, and everybody's going to be like, who the fuck do you think you are?
Exactly.
Lipstick? Yes. What are you, fucking nuts?
Do you think that does more for you? Or
yeah.
Are you
think we're not going to notice you put a bunch of shit all over your face and decide right. to leave the house?
Right.
Nice going, idiot.
Oh. That's your face. I saw you yesterday and you didn't look like that, but okay, now that's your face. Also, the lipstick. Are you underlining your nose? What's happening? Do you need more attention?
So to hear somebody have the reverse thing of like, I like my face without it. I was like, oh my God, we're all connected under this big fucked up umbrella of the patriarchy.
I've never heard you, Hannah? I've never heard you sound more in love than this. I've heard you talk about like a guy or two, but never like this. And I'm so happy for you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, women have to get together. This is the chance. This is your time. Take advantage. All agree. No makeup. But everybody's fighting for makeup places to open up again. You're blowing it, ladies. You're blowing it.
Yeah. I've been doing the no makeup thing for the past 31 years. And I think I'm going to start wearing it soon.
well, if you want to be friends with Hannah.
I just have to find the right products and right. the extra time in my schedule. You know what I mean?
You don't have time. You make time. Bianca, you prioritize your face.
1 minute. I'm just like doing 1 minute at a time. OMAT of makeup. And then I walk outside and people go like, I'm like, it was 1 minute of my day. Namaste.
And then we're obviously talking to you, but we're in a big group meeting. And it's like, and then maybe for makeup, take 2 minutes, everybody, just whoever I'm pointing at.
I just love how confident and cool and hot Hannah is, especially about like dating guys. And like, guys, I am in charge of them and they do what I want. Oh, so cool. And she's doing FaceTime and she's like, whatever.
Right. They like I'm not really fucking that guy. That's for my brand.
Yeah, marketing. It's marketing, babe. It's fucking marketing, babe. Here I am like doing, you know, thinking man's pose, trying to like come up with something interesting to say. No, the secret the whole time was to be hot and confident. Why didn't I just do that? Yeah. Ugh!
This is what the pandemic is teaching us, just simplifying everything. I'm in charge because no one's in charge.
Yeah, I'm FaceTiming with this guy, and this guy's in love with me, but he doesn't want to fuck me because I'm too precious to him. And they like me because I can talk about sports, because I'm also an athlete. And then, did I look at her Instagram? Absolutely, I did. Is she?
Oh, it's the best. I can't.
So toned. She's so toned.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's not even like, oh, she's so skinny and like fits into any. I'm like, oh my God, that's what you look like.
An athlete. Just a pure jock. Like I just wanted to anyway.
I'm picturing this letter that Bianca's writing her to be friends.
Yeah, don't introduce Instagram. Me. Actually, don't introduce me because I'm going to need to, you know, get a grip first.
Soon the closing song will be, I kissed a girl and I liked it.
If only, you know, my life would be a lot simpler, I think, if I could get into that area. But
listen, it's a choice. Go ahead and choose it.
Right. Yeah, okay.
I mean, if God has taught me anything, apparently we could all be gay. So I don't know why we're not choosing that.
I'm gay for Hannah Berner.
Yeah, you are.
Did you know Fred Willard, Bianca?
My uncle.
Oh, so you did know him in person?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought he was the funniest thing. Uncle was he funny Fred. In real life?
Yeah, I mean, it was funny in real life at the family reunions, you know, doing gags with the potato salad, what have right. you. You know,
like, what would he do? What would he
and
do?
Well, he would eat it, but he would make a funny face. And he would always be like, you know, even though he's like, oh, yeah, I'm in movies, I'm on TV, I'm in movies. But he never really made you feel like you were less than him, you know?
Okay. Yeah, he seems sweet.
Yeah, he seems like real... the Hannah Burner of uncles.
Yeah. He's my Uncle Fred, and he will be missed. And yeah. R.I.P. No, I agree. He's not my uncle, okay? I did lie about that. Audience. Deal with it. I'm a fucking liar.
wow. But being friends with Hannah really changed you.
Yeah, I'm caught and confident now.
I'm here for the right reasons, but that's it.
I said Fred Willard was my uncle for marketing reasons only. No, but he was a great actor. Very yeah. funny.
The poll was dating apps during quarantine, ? Your choices were I'm single and I use them. I'm single and I don't use them. I'm not single and I don't use them. I'm not single, but I do use them. And I will tell you, it took me way too long to write that out.
I do not eat them with a spoon. I do not eat them on the moon.
But I'm looking at 7% of all those percentages went to I'm not single, but I do use them. 7% of the audience.
You motherfuckers.
Whoa. In a fucking pandemic, I need to hear more from you guys. What are you getting from this?
Maybe you get attention, but you know you're not going to see the other person. So you know where the line is. It's right at the end of whacking off in the bathroom.
Okay, Hennessy. Anything
Either
else?
You're an asshole. Or
what else could it be?
Well, you didn't understand the question.
I didn't. And I wrote it and I didn't. And I did, but I didn't. But I didn't, but mainly I did.
Well, I've been on the net myself doing chit-chat on the net. And let me tell you. Pretty boring when you know that you're not gonna meet anyone.
I'm gonna fuck you raw. I doubt it. Anyway, like, describe
so,
it.
What'd you have for dinner? And then a mango for dessert. Wow, fresh fruit. Isn't that nice?
Frozen kiwis like ice cream to you. Good to know.
So yeah, I'm in the poll camp of like. Who cares?
Right.
Okay, moving on.
Yes.
Episode 3272, Daddy Issues with Keith and Ken Malley. This is a main feed re-release of the first episode of Keith and Ken's VIP show, Daddy Issues, and you got to take a sneak peek. They're your dealer. They give you a taste, give you the first taste for free. They get you hooked. They get you hooked, and then you're in that VIP, and you're eating it like a big bowl of meth.
That's right. Doesn't it feel good to be a VIP? Feels good to me.
Oh, my gosh. I feel so important.
Yeah, you're in the club. What other fucking club are you in? Look at this club. Look at Keith's fucking face. There it is. Boom. Now it's in your ears. Now, you don't have... One Mally is not good enough for you. His fucking name is in the title. Boom. Two Mallys telling the same story, but they're not echoing like a fucking Zoom bomb. No. What they're doing is going, holy shit, he's co-signing all of this in the same voice. You want to like throw yourself out the window and then you remember Father Mally is not your dad and you suddenly call your own dad and go, I'm really sorry. It seems you're not as bad as I thought because apparently you were right. There is worse. Holy shit. Does that sum up your childhood?
Yeah, well, something messed up with my... I did Diamond Dogs last night, and something messed up where I was coming in too loud. Now, if I was working with Henda or Xerxes or you, Bianca, somebody could have told me and fixed it. Mm. But talking to guys, especially when there's more than one, the more, the worse. Because it's like, oh, you're coming in loud. I'm like, okay, I think I did something. Is this better? Yeah. I'm like, no favors. Is this better? Next thing I know, I came out so horrible, so I'm upset. It's able to be fixed, but... It's really bothering me. So I call Ken and I go, I am so fucking pissed off. Can you have dad tuck me in? Son? I'm like, oh, thank you. When one wants to sleep, yes, dad. I just found out, I was talking to him today, and I just found out that, and who knows how any of these stories came up as you hear in the show, but he brought up that his dad, our dad, happens to be my dad, one of our dads.
I like that part of the show too.
It's not always an accident.
My dad, also your dad.
You might know him. My dad, not yours, gave Ken for his birthday a toy tractor and said, "Happy birthday, this is for you, but don't play with it. It's going to be worth $1 million someday." I don't know where he got this tractor. It wasn't in a case. He probably got it from some client's house. You know,
wait, when he was how old? When Ken was how old?
I don't know. I remember it. So he was 8 years younger than me.
Okay.
So he's a kid. So he's playing with this tractor. My dad's getting mad. Like, don't play with it. And mom's like, you know, play with it if you want to play with it. But it's going to be worth $1 billion. So time goes by and my dad sees the tractor and he goes, "This is the tractor I gave you?" And he goes, "Yeah." He goes, "That is not the same tractor I gave you. The tractor I gave you would have been worth a lot of money. Your brother Keith stole your tractor, sold it, kept the money, used a little of all those riches to buy you a fake tractor. This is a duplicate tractor." What? I never knew that story until Ken told me it.
What? Oh, the fuck.
My yeah. God. Hemda and I both thought we'd heard it all.
Yeah. Our
jaws
end.
Are on the floor. That is so diabolical.
Yeah.
Holy
crazy.
Shit. Holy shit. Keith.
Did Ken really think that was true for a while?
Probably. Yeah, at first, sure. But it's not a big deal. It's a toy to him. So, okay. That'd be shitty if Keith did that.
You guys have to start calling a third brother because we need all the stories.
That is on my notes. Can we get more Mallies on the pod?
I know
more.
I think the,
that,
Mark has been on Keith and the Girl before. Christy is way too shy. It's not her speed. And I think the same with my older brother, Mike. So this could be it. But okay. We'll see.
Yeah, but maybe we get like a hello from Mark on the Mally fam, the daddy issues.
Sure, we can get pop-ins. Yeah, we're still trying to get dad as a guest, you know.
That would be, it would win an Academy Award.
Listen, I know how you get your dad on the show. Just fucking have Ken call him and record that. No?
Right.
Is that?
Yeah. No. If you hear, like there's three episodes now of Daddy Issues. If you're caught up, you know now it's anything goes. I give a fuck.
That could be considered calumny, though. You do have to watch out for calumny.
That's true. That is true.
So if anybody wants to know what calumny is, KTG.com/dad. The calumny part is like 11 hours in.
Right.
But what do you think of calling him up and saying we're recording this?
He wouldn't do that.
Okay, we'll get him.
I don't know, but like he's like, "Well, I can't leave a voice message. We tried that." And he said, because who knows what you could do with it. You can manipulate it. Or we make fun of him. But somehow, the email, I prefer the email because it means he sat down and it's deliberate, you know, and it's black and white. But somehow he doesn't think I could fuck around with email. Email's been a hit. So who knows? There's no rhyme or reason.
What about Father's Day is coming? Aren't you guys supposed to call him? Just call him. He's waiting for calls on Father's Day. He is waiting. He's waiting as soon as he wakes up and you know you're getting an email the next day for whoever doesn't, you know, whoever disappointed your mother somehow because, you know, you did this to him.
Dad, I know that I told you to fuck off and then proceeded to catfish you again. And then when you called me out, I said, "Hey, we cool." Then followed up with, "It does not sound like we cool." Anyway, despite that, I do understand it is Father's Day. And the right thing to do is say, "Happy Father's Day."
Maybe. Yeah, but I don't. You don't think that you could just call him up? You said fuck off. He kept emailing. You said that you're the one catfishing. He kept emailing. Like it's.
But what if? Okay, here's my pitch.
You think he's just booked because it's a pandemic and everyone can call you now? He's not.
Well, you know how assholes depend on not being called out because of social norms. This guy really pushes it. He's like, "Well, Father's Day, everything has to be nice. Those are the rules."
That's right.
Here's my pitch. I say you just hit him with the big T-bomb, which is called The Truth, where you say, Dad, I've been in podcasting. I've been in show business for 15 years. My show reaches an audience of X number of people. Right. And lately, they've really been wanting to hear from you. Would you be willing to come on the show and tell them your side of the story?
And then attach a media kit.
We do have a nice media kit.
Attach a media kit.
Ooh.
I mean, it's his chance to perform for the biggest audience of his life.
Sure. You know what? Maybe.
Imagine the technical difficulties on that fucking one. No, Dad, not the plug in your wall, the plug in your computer.
I don't know, son. I haven't done this. Does it have to do with my microwave?
And then just be like, if not, then have me on your podcast anytime. So you put the ball in his court, and then he'll be like, oh no, I don't have a podcast.
Right.
I better do Keith's.
I follow. Okay.
You get it?
Yeah, yeah.
You should be a booker. I like it.
I think I might be getting a second degree in psychology coming up. Some of these ideas I'm having. Whoa.
I wonder, when I interview him, I'm going to talk to him normally. He'll answer however he answers. And then I'll go, Dad, it's me, Keith, you idiot. I got you. And like, does he have flashbacks for a second? Like, wait a minute. Did I know it was Keith? I knew it was really you. Like, yeah, no shit. I'm just being stupid now.
Yes. All of that. Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm in. I will be a lifetime member of that VIP program. I will pay me for you to do that.
Yeah, same here. I think we got a little bit of a frozen Mally situation.
Yes, we do. See that?
So
that's a good shot. It's like, well, no, he's just happy. He's not frozen.
All right, let's see. He's gone.
Okay, here's this. Oh, he kicked his plug out. After all of that we were saying about his dad. Should we just close out the show with that room?
Yeah. Remember during KTG weekend last year when we were playing You Can't Say That and he kept kicking the plug out of the projector?
Yes. Yes. We're like, what's going on?
And then the next year you were like, what can we do to make that game run more smoothly? And I was like, well, I don't know if you remember, but somebody was.
You know, oh my God. You know what? This is the best because I started this show saying we don't need that motherfucker. And now clearly we don't. I've been laughing a bunch since he's gone. Goodbye, yeah. Keith.
We should do a spinoff show that's just
Bianca everybody and a girl.
Talks about Keith.
Yeah.
Andrea could come on, Tracy. we could get Keith's dad before Keith does.
Yeah.
Now that would be something.
Let's do it. It's on. All right. Thank you, VIPers.
All right. So let's call it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you ever know that you're my hero, Hannah Burner? You're everything I would like to be. Teach me how to be hot. And I could fly higher than an eagle, Hannah Burner, if you would just be my friend, please. KeithAndTheGirl.com.